Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Let's move on to the general discussion. There are four of us in this room, and we all have lots of opinions. So I just wrote a kind of a bare-bones outline for the discussion. So I want to start with visuals, going for a way different look than the new games. I don't think it goes quite far enough, but it goes far enough to interest me and for me to like it. I feel like it could go a little further, go a little crazier, but still this is a conservative series, even though they're doing very wild things in this game. And especially on a platform that's about to hit its seventh birthday a few months after this episode goes live. So It's astounding just how they can make this game sing at 60 frames per second. And there's a great Digital Foundry video that shows off the tech of this game and how there are just so few snags. And then, of course, we have to trash the new games, go back to those. I can't believe how bad they look. I went back to it with an open mind. It's like all the lighting is flat. The character models are so literal. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. It's
all
graphics.
It's all function over form completely. And then the function, if that doesn't work for you, which for many people it doesn't, then there's nothing left. You know, mm-hmm. With Wonder, it looks so nice that, you know, I love this game. I don't want to say any really particularly criticize it that much, but like the things that I don't like about Mario Wonder are so papered over by the fact that I want to see what the next level looks like. And in New Super Mario Bros., thank Christ I enjoyed it so much, because otherwise I would have just dropped it immediately. I'm like, well, the next level is going to just look like a lava level, isn't it? Because that's what it always is. It's always a lava level. And, you know, you get a lava level here as well, but it's crazy. You're like descending into the depths of hell. It's absolutely fantastic.
When this Nintendo Direct debut happened, like, the moment it started, I was just bouncing up and down from my chair watching it, because I love the visuals of the 2D Mario instructional that started with Yoichi Kotabe's art in the first it was for Super Mario USA, I guess, was the first one. I am being a total weeb calling it that. However, Kotabe's art style never fully translated all the time, and there was a bad thing that happened in Nintendo official art stuff, where after N64 they're like, well, Mario always has to look like his 3D model in anything you show him, mm-hmm. and you don't draw him anymore, he's his 3D model. And that extended to the new games, where he had to be a friggin' like he just had to look like his boring self. It's just like how Mickey Mouse couldn't be interesting for like 40 years. And similarly with those Mickey Mouse shorts that were directed by Paul Rudish, where he gets to be wacky and silly in black and white again, this feels like Mario going back to his like Miyamoto gag comic roots. Like he makes a silly little face when he scrunches down, or when he gets hurt he makes a wacky face, or even just the little like steps in time they do to like when you go down the warp pipe, he like kind of hops up to then like move down faster. And even in that interview they pointed out how they took this thing that was never really done before, where they said that Miyamoto had told them the reason Mario gets hurt by a Goomba at the start of the first stage is because a Goomba bites him, but we couldn't animate it. So this time they're like, if you bump into a Goomba, he will do a bite animation with like smiling eyes at his excitement at biting you. Like, I successfully bit Mario. Hooray. Like, it just that comic sensibility. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I won't say that it's off model, because it's really not as far as Mario is concerned, but it has that energy to it, mm-hmm. you know. And you talk about you mentioned the Goombas, and I thought there's like little details, like if a Goomba is sleeping and you run into it, it has a whole little wake up animation before it can actually hurt you. You know, I like when you're transforming into different shapes. Obviously, they you know, gloss over the body horror aspect of that, of like turning into a ball or whatever. But it's just the way you, just the way the characters like move and animate and look in these different forms and how they like shift through their environment. Even just, you know, the elephant form, just cramming themselves into the pipes and whatnot. That's just like really cute. I love it.
Awesome. Yeah,
jamming their huge asses through the doors. Henry showing us his horny elephant art.
It's the and most the way, scene I've ever felt by a Mario game.
A brief correction on Henry: Kotabe's art first appeared in Super Mario Brothers 2, the Japanese version.
Bob's got me. It's true.
You got out.
You must leave this room in shame, sir.
I think
only know that because I just did the Bowser episode. So,
I think that the Paul Riddish comparison, like the Mickey Toons, is actually a really kind of shrewd one because it's that whole thing of like. Why you could get yourself into a state if you didn't like New Super Mario Brothers, if you didn't enjoy it, and you had every reason not to, to find yourself wondering, why did people even like 2D Mario, you know? And it's like, why did people even like Mickey Mouse? He's a boring wanker. And then suddenly Paul Riddish comes along, and you're like, oh yeah, this guy can be funny and likable and charming, and Mario Wonder is sort of doing the same thing. But it's not just doing it, it's doing it effortlessly. Like the level I played the level today, Scram Skedaddlers, which has this enemy that's like a chipmunk or something that looks back at you in horror as they run away at full speed while spitting at you, and their expression of pure mortal terror because they don't want to get jumped on is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a Mario game. And you know how many levels those things appear in? One.
I felt deeply sorry for those. I was going to call the ASPCA on Mario.
I love the little bit where they decided, if you can ride Yoshi while somebody's playing as Yoshi, and they're like, well, then in elephant form, you have to be able to do that gameplay-wise. And they're like, all right, well, then we'll draw a really funny face on Yoshi as he strains to hold on to an elephant-sized companion standing on him.
And just like in the Link Between Worlds, they cheat the models, so they're always... So Link Between Worlds, they had to have all of the models basically be like doing the Smooth Criminal dance.
Right.
In order to for them to look a certain way with the overhead camera. Here, the models are always looking at the camera, so their features are kind of slid over on their face. So if you look at the model without the camera trickery, it looks like a horrific monster. But they're cheating it to look like the 2D art, so we're going back to that, which has been slowly introduced back into the series since 3D World, I feel. That's when they first started saying, hey, remember what these characters looked like before? Now they're going to look like this merch. And we're going to try in the future.
The stamps and stuff.
No, it was before that, actually. It was the postcards in 3D Land. That's when it really came back.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they were cool. Yeah. And they were 3D too.